is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in coast to coast all over North America. You could be in the mountains, the plains, the valleys, the swamps, the hills, the prairies. You could be wherever. I don't know. I don't care. Thank you for being here. I'm being joined by super producer and host Ryan Hickey in New York City. Happy Thursday. Thursday night football getting ready to be underway. And we've talked a lot of football. We've talked baseball. We talked basketball. If it includes a ball, I got you covered. Yeah. 855-212-4227 is the number. You can find me online at JR Sport Brief. You can always listen to this show starting at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific, on the free Odyssey app, on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate, on SiriusXM channel 158. And if you got yourself a smart speaker, you ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. Oh, yeah, we've talked about the Cowboys and the Giants. They're going to kick off in a little bit. Right before we went to break, we talked about Texas and their quarterback situation. Is Quinn Ewers going to start against Mississippi State? Is he coming back, or is it going to be Arch Manning? We talked about a quitting-ass college football player for USC and Bear Alexander. He didn't get his snap, so he's not going to play anymore. Oh, no. Derrick Rose is retiring. At least he had a 16-year career before he decided to quit. He deserves it. MVP. We talked about the Oakland A's. They played their final game in Oakland before they go to Sacramento and try to move to Las Vegas. And then congratulations to the White Sox for not yet owning the worst record in modern-day baseball history. For some reason, the Chicago White Sox have now won three games in a row. They have lost 120. If they lose one more game out of their remaining three, the Chicago White Sox will have the worst record in baseball history, the modern era, since 1900. Yeah, I want to see him lose one more game. Get the record. I'm here for making history. I don't care if it is Shohei Ohtani and 50-50. I don't care if it's the White Sox being the worst team ever. I'm here for history, regardless of how it comes. 855-212-4227. Hey, how about this? We got more big football coming up. We got Army and Temple getting ready to get it on. And over the weekend, we got a big SEC matchup. Thank you. Took long enough. SEC opener. We got Georgia. We got Alabama. Now, I've been in Georgia long enough. I'm a Bulldogs fan. Athens is right down the road. I've been to the stadium. I've worked with the school. I've done broadcasts from the school. I love it. I love it. I love them. I love everything except for them idiots who drive too fast at the school. It sucks. Terrible. Awful. I can tell you one thing I don't like and what I did not like. I didn't like when they lost the SEC championship game to Alabama last year. And Georgia Bulldogs are trying to win another championship. Didn't even get a chance, didn't even get an opportunity because of just that one loss to Alabama. Kennington Smith is going to join us in about 15 minutes from The Athletic to talk about Alabama. And we know things are different. Unfortunately, Kirby Smart, when it comes down to, you know, beating Alabama, he's 1-5. But Nick Saban is no longer there. It's Kalen DeBoer. It's his show now. Jalen Milroe. Ain't no conversations about whether or not he's going to be the starter. That was all for last year. He is the starter now. The man has thrown 8 touchdowns. 2-0 interceptions. But let's be real. When it comes to Alabama, who the hell have they beat? Western Kentucky? They didn't even give up a point. 63-0. Oh, my God. They beat South Florida 42-16. Wisconsin, the Badgers, they smoked them 42-10. Yeah, Jalen Milroe was supposed to annihilate the competition. But now you're taking on the Bulldogs. Now you're taking on one of the best defenses in the entire country. Georgia's been playing some crap teams, too, except for Kentucky. It made Kentucky look like world beaters, 13-12. I don't understand that one. But when you got a bunch of defensive backs led by Malachi Starks, future first-round draft pick in the NFL, when you haven't given up a touchdown, they're the only Division I school who has yet to give up a TD, and the Bulldogs are still good. You got to know that they want to beat Alabama. Doesn't matter if Saban is there or DeBoer or who's coaching the team. And you got to think they want to bounce back after that. It feels like a defeat, even though they won against Kentucky. This is new. Nick Saban is going to sit around and watch on College game day. It's going to be very new for him. And Kirby Smart says, yeah, Nick Saban is gone. But Kalen DeBoer, the guy who just went to a championship with Washington, he got my respect.
His record speaks for itself. Everywhere he's been successful. He's very confident in what he does and his organizational methods. And I think it takes that in the situation he's in. Like the situation he's in, you got to be pretty confident in your own skin to go in there and do things your way, especially with the record they've had. And it seems like he's done that without any issue or problem. I think the smartest thing he's done, he hadn't changed everything. Like, you know, offensively, they have some similarities because they have the same quarterback. And we'll probably see a lot more wrinkles that they haven't shown. But for the most part, they've kept some of the staples that they had last year because it probably makes the quarterback come
in. Yeah, come on. They played three games. What would they possibly change? Or what could they possibly show that they've changed in three games? Kirby Smart is correct. Jalen Milroe still the quarterback. You know, I told you about the man having already thrown for 8 touchdowns. Congratulations, Ryan Williams, that young wide receiver they got. Jalen Milroe has also gone out and rushed for 6. Is he going to be able to do that against Georgia's defense? I'm not sure. I don't think so. Kirby Smart says, yeah, they've kept things as close to the same as possible. Meanwhile, Kalen DeBoer, he spoke to ESPN, and he said that I don't care what's going on over there with the Bulldogs. I'm only thinking about us, Alabama.
To me, it's all about us. It always needs to be that way, and focusing on what we do best, who we are, and just the work that goes into it. And I love the way our guys kind of carry the mantras, they carry the messaging. I think they believe in it. And so, again, we're attacking every day, making the most of every opportunity, each and every practice, each and every rep. But most importantly, we just got to be us.
Yeah, you better be you. That's one thing I've always learned in life. And that's actually it's some JR wisdom. Nobody could be you but you. So many people always trying to run around and be somebody else. Be someone who they are not. The only person you can be is you. Nobody else can be you. You got to figure out what you're like. What are you going to do? Because nobody else can do it. They can imitate you, but nobody else can be you. Nobody. So even though Kalen DeBoer has now pretty much replaced Nick Saban, he can only be himself. And the fact that Nick Saban is gone, think about this. Alabama is going to be hosting this game. This is the first time since Nick Saban showed up in 2007. This is the first time that Alabama, that they're the underdog at home. Like this is when push meets pull and come on, Georgia has to win this game. Kirby Smart is 1-5 against them. This has to be the tide that turns things around. And let me tell you something. By the time we finish up with Saturday night, it's going to be very clear who the cream of the crop is. Forget all the traditional or the new teams that have moved in. Forget what Tennessee is doing. And forget what Texas is doing as a new member of the SEC. Forget that. We got Georgia and Alabama. These are the stalwarts here. These are the two teams punching each other in the mouth year after year after year. Georgia could never get past Alabama. And then Georgia gets past Alabama. And then Alabama gets them back. And then Nick Saban quits. whoever wins this is going to be at the top of the totem pole. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to Texas. I'm sorry, Tennessee. If Georgia loses this game, oh, my God. Put a fork in them. People are going to look at what took place against Kentucky and just go, well, Carson Beck, who? I already told you, you look at Quinn Ewers and the concern is, well, what are you going to do to stay healthy enough to be on the field? That's it. When it comes to Carson Beck, who people looked at and said, oh, well, Carson Beck, he's going to be a Heisman finalist. Well, do we need to go get Brock Bowers back from Las Vegas? This game is much more important to Georgia than it is to Alabama. In a general sense, not from a fan perspective. Alabama is expected to go through a transitional year. The Georgia Bulldogs are expected to bounce back with that defense and the polished Carson Beck leading the way. Georgia has to win this game. I'm going to favor Georgia to win this game. But I'll tell you this, nobody, come on now, who's going to be surprised if Alabama wins? And if they do, I'm down on Georgia to win the national championship this year. Because maybe I might need to go out there and play wide receiver. Maybe I need to help out Carson Beck. Because the defense for Georgia is always going to get the job done. You're just never sure about what the offense is going to do, especially with some of the pieces that they now miss. It's a transition for a guy like Kalen DeBoer. He's going to get a little bit of grace following Nick Saban. You want to know how much so? He's thanking his offensive linemen about helping his transition. Listen to what he told the Tide Radio Network.
You know, I hope all the fans just understand, you know, where we're at right now and how we got to this point. It's not a finished product, but we are making great progress because of guys like this that believed in this place back in January and February, stayed the course, brought others with them, and you know, we're making that progress. We're improving each and every day, and you know, it's going to put us in a spot where, you know, we expect to step on the football field and be successful each and every Saturday.
Oh man, Hickey, you got Alabama at home or you got the Bulldogs?
I have Bama at home winning this game.
Oh man, ouch.
And that will not be good for Kirby Smart.
Oh, no.
Not be good for Georgia when you look at still the rest of their schedule.
Oh, no.
Yeah. With games against Tennessee and Ole Miss. They got Texas on the road.
Yeah, if they can't beat Alabama, the week before, taking on Kentucky, that showing didn't evoke any type of confidence in anybody. And in having time to prepare and then bouncing back and losing to Alabama, like if this is what you're going to do against Kentucky and then Alabama, the rest of the schedule, as you said, they're going to get lit up probably on the scoreboard. Maybe not lit up because the defense is amazing, but they're going to have a difficult time keeping up with the offense, man. Do you think this season is going to be a disaster for the Bulldogs, huh?
No. No, I think they still win most of those games, yeah. Probably outside of Texas.
Yeah, they're going to go to the college football playoff and lose, though, man. Come on.
Well, it depends how the bracket breaks. I mean,
you need a quarterback. You need to score points when it matters. You can only do so much in defense game after game after game after game.
That you're not wrong about. And they right now, outside of Carson Beck, do not have a lot of playmakers. At running back, at receiver, at tight end. It's concerning.
You think it's too late for me to transfer into a school, right? I can't do that stuff. Can't do that.
What? Are you pulling a Bear Alexander right now?
The opposite.
No, you're quitting midway through the year.
No, I'm not quitting. I'm just saying is it too late for me to play and help?
I'd have to enroll. Like go to another school so you can root for another team that's not Georgia.
Oh no, I'm not rooting.
That's what I was gonna say. Damn, turning in the colors.
I'm trying to think. If I were to rate my schools that I root for, it's the Bulldogs. Let's see who's after that. I don't think anybody.
Wow, so they're number one, huh?
Yeah, Bulldogs, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Bulldogs. They treat me good in Tallahassee. I like FSU. Yeah, maybe that's probably it. One and two. And no other team. I can't root for anybody. After Penn State, you got a next favorite team?
No, I do not.
Oh, okay.
But you have family at Penn State.
Oh, my niece is there.
Yeah, and
don't care.
Well,
don't.
You know two people that went there. You don't have a soft spot for them?
You and her?
Yeah.
Bro, I know a lot of people who went to a lot of schools, okay? I don't even like Tech. I don't even like Tech. Georgia Tech is right down the block. Don't care.
Don't care about the nerds?
Why you call them nerds? Is that a technical school?
It is. Listen, I could never get into Georgia Tech.
Stephon Marbury went.
Good for him. Maybe that's why he's eating the Vaseline at the end.
Why? Because he's a genius? Geniuses eat Vaseline?
That's it. They're smarter than everybody else.
You mean to tell me it wasn't the three-point shot and the dunks?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I don't root for no other school. Yeah, just Georgia Bulldogs all the way. Everybody else eat dust. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, let's get the opinion of Kennington Smith. He covers Alabama for The Athletic. We'll get his thoughts on this big matchup, what Alabama has looked like up until now. But before we do that, I have something very special for you. So sports fans, you need to listen up. Because 1 in 8 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer, and bladder leaks can be a side effect. That's why Depend is teaming up with the Prostate Cancer Foundation to encourage screening. Because health, it's a long game, and it's yours to win. Now, here's the cool part. Through November, Depend is contributing up to $300,000 to prostate cancer research by donating 40 cents for every purchase of Shields, Guards, and RealFit products. Void in Mississippi. Learn more at Depend.com.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network, coast to coast. Yeah, we got a Thursday night football matchup that's underway between the New York Giants and the Dallas Cowboys. We're waiting for a big college football matchup as well on Saturday night as Alabama hosts the Georgia Bulldogs. To talk about Alabama, this matchup, SEC opener. Joining us right now is someone who covers all things Alabama football for The Athletic. It's Kennington Smith. Kennington, great to have you back. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you for taking the time. I guess first things out the box here. This is the first time Alabama is an underdog at home since Nick Saban showed up. What are your initial thoughts on this matchup and Kalen DeBoer and Kirby Smart going at it?
Yeah, I mean, this is, in my mind, basically a pick-up. I'm honestly surprised if there was a point spread put on this game. But when I look at it, I mean, these are just two supernovas in college football going head-to-head. These are the two teams that recruit at the highest level. They play in the best conference. And usually when these teams get together, there is something significant on the line. They're either meeting in the SEC championship with playoff implications, or they're meeting in the national championship game. So it's a little odd to see them meet this early in the season with not as much as stake compared to the past matchups. But I just look at this as, you know, the two most talented rosters in college football going at it, and all of the sub-layers of their rivalry and Kirby Smart and Kalen DeBoer and Nick Saban and everything that lies underneath just makes it that much more interesting.
Kennington Smith is here with us, covers Alabama for The Athletic. It is a pick'em. I think it is going to be close. Having said that, wouldn't the implications of a loss be worse on Georgia than it would be for Alabama, especially with the new coach, team in transition, et cetera?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, when we've been talking about these two schools, and I take this back to before last season, there were legitimate questions of if Georgia had overtaken Alabama as kind of the standard bearer in the sport. And when they met in December last for the SEC championship, it was an opportunity for either Georgia to make that statement or for Alabama to reassert themselves. And obviously Alabama won. But with Saban retiring, it has changed the perception of both of these teams. Georgia has seemingly risen to the front with the best coach in college football. Alabama has taken a step back because they don't have the greatest coach of all time anymore. So this is, again, another opportunity for Georgia to assert their dominance and write a new chapter in the story of this rivalry. And being the team that was preseason number one, being the team with the more experienced head coach and coaching staff to go into Alabama and lose in this first game with Kalen DeBoer, I think would have pretty negative implications on the dynamics of this rivalry. And that's what makes this opportunity so exciting for Alabama. You mentioned that they're an underdog for the first time in 2007 at home. What type of moment would that be for Kalen DeBoer in his first SEC game to secure a win like that over Georgia and all of a sudden we think about Alabama's trajectory in a much different way.
And well, Kennington, we know that this is the first real test here for Alabama, but what are some of the initial impressions of Kalen DeBoer?
Yeah, I mean, he is a pretty laid-back guy, honestly. He's kind of opposite from Nick Saban in a lot of ways. A little bit more easygoing. He's kind of like, you know, really just like a dad. You know, somebody who's just liking to tell dad jokes and wear a ball cap. He just happens to be a really smart offensive mind. So he's definitely changed the culture in a way that makes it a little bit more relaxed, I would say. We're starting to see the players and the coaches kind of show a little bit more of their personality. And it's all gone well so far. But obviously we'll see what happens when they win and if they lose their first game.
Kennington Smith is here with us, covers Alabama for The Athletic. Hey, Kennington, are you getting abducted by aliens? It sounds like your phone is drifting away. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. You can't hear me?
No, it sounds like you're getting further and further away as we continue chatting it up here. Kennington Smith here with us from The Athletic. To continue, Kennington, you still there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Okay, yeah, I think you sound a little bit close. I thought you were getting abducted for aliens for a second.
I'm good.
Awesome. Now, having said that, when we take a look at Kalen DeBoer, one thing that we know has not changed is Jalen Milroe. There were so many questions last year, and he eventually took the starter's job. He's a man on fire right now. How have you seen him develop as a QB, opposed to what we saw last year?
I definitely think that you're seeing a lot more anticipation throws. I think you're seeing his rhythm get better. I think you see the accuracy improve. One thing about Jalen Milroe, though, is he's always going to be able to throw the ball deep. And he has the most touchdowns of 20-plus yards of any quarterback in the country. So that element is still a part of his game. We're starting to see him used in the run game a lot more, which just kind of felt like 3 yards last year that Alabama left on the table. We're seeing Kalen and the Bourne staff kind of lean into that. So Milroe's running the ball a lot more. He's starting to pass with a lot more confidence. And that's a potentially scary combination. And it'll be interesting to see how Georgia plays him, consider that they've already seen him in the SEC championship last December. So that chess match is going to be one of the biggest storylines of the game.
Well, as the season continues on, especially if they win this game, what are the expectations going to be for Alabama? Will they change? We know the SEC has a new look. Texas is sitting at the top. Tennessee is lighting it up. Would the expectations change from the fan base if they knock off Georgia?
I don't think so, because I think the expectation, at least within Alabama fan base, is still for them to contend for a national championship. So I don't think the expectations have honestly changed under Kalen DeBoer. I think the question is, how is he going to live up to the standards and the expectations that have been set? So I don't think there's any type of shift in expectations. I think, if anything, a win is just going to validate the decision to hire Kalen DeBoer and kind of put to bed any questions of, is it still the same Alabama? That's what Alabama is kind of playing for on Saturday, outside of the obvious on-field implications, is answering the question of, is Alabama still the same without Nick Saban, or is it just Nick Saban's players and somebody else just kind of managing that talent? And there's a huge opportunity for Alabama to answer that question on Saturday.
Kennington Smith is here from The Athletic. You mentioned Nick Saban. We know he's going to be sitting outside on college game day instead of preparing and being on the sideline. What are your thoughts on his timing and his exit? You know, I mean, just this week, we see Matt Sluka leaving UNLV. We got Bear Alexander saying, hey, I'm not getting my playing time, I quit. Isn't this kind of lead towards why Nick Saban walked away in the first place?
Yeah, I think so. And I think he just kind of understood it was time. He saw the landscape. He saw where it was going. And that just wasn't something that he wanted to be a part of. It's kind of like a common saying is, as soon as I'm done, as soon as I'm not having fun with it, I'm done with it. And that's just kind of where Saban was at. He looked at the landscape. He saw where it was going. He saw the challenge, especially at a school like Alabama's. I mean, UNLV, that was one or two players. Imagine a team full of five-star athletes on Alabama all kind of vying for that type of positioning. And he saw the future, and he just said to himself, you know what, I don't think I'm going to have much fun with it. So I'm going to pass it off to somebody who might be better equipped to handle it, and I'm going to enjoy retirement.
Well, we know he'll be outside the stadium. Has his presence loomed at all? We know he has the office, but has his presence loomed at all over the program?
Not really. I mean, he's done a pretty good job of kind of keeping everything at bay. He's been in the facility a couple times to get treatment with the medical team, and he's been used as a resource whenever the coaches call on him. But he's not around day-to-day. He's not really casting a large shadow over the football program. And I think it's been a pretty seamless handoff. I think Alabama understands that they can call on him whenever, and I think he will answer at any given time. But there's really not a need for him to kind of hovering over day to day. So he's doing his thing and Alabama's doing theirs, and there's going to be opportunities where he can kind of come in the middle like they're doing this weekend. But that's really the extent of it. So pretty seamless transition, and I think you look at how others have gone in years past at other marquee programs, and it hasn't gone as gracefully as this one. So I think everybody on all sides deserves a lot of credit.
We talked about Jalen Milroe. Earlier in the show, I mentioned Ryan Williams. Who are some other folks or individuals that the country, as they tune into this game, who are some other players in Alabama that people are going to find out more about?
Yeah, I think you start on the defensive line, Tim Keenan, number 96. And as we know, when these two great programs get together, it's really going to be decided in the trenches. So Tim Keenan, 96 for Alabama, he's been a huge part of what they've been doing in the first few weeks. I think he's going to have a big role if Alabama's going to win, so watch out for him. I would say watch out for Alabama's running backs, Justice Haynes and Jam Miller, 22 and 26. They're going to have to be a huge part of what's going on at Alabama to win. And really anybody in Alabama's secondary. So watch out for the defensive backs, because I think whoever is going to hit the most explosive plays is going to end up winning the game. So those are some areas that people might not know about on the surface, but pay attention on Saturday, and those are going to be the players kind of affecting the game.
Hey, Kennington, I appreciate you coming through to chat us up about it. You said it's going to be a pick 'em. Where can people follow you, your news, your commentary, your writing, your articles? Fill us in.
Yeah, on Twitter at skinnykenny_FKINNY_theathletic.com or The Athletic on your mobile apps, searching my name, Kennington Smith, or anything related to Alabama athletics.
Hey, Kennington, I appreciate you. Enjoy the game, okay? We'll catch you on down the line.
All right, for sure. Thank you.
No doubt about it. That Kennington Smith covers all things Alabama for The Athletic. He sees this as a pick'em game between Alabama and the Bulldogs. Hickey is going Alabama at home. I'm going Georgia, you know, Bulldogs on the road. Marco Belletti, you got a I don't want to say dog in the fight. You got a horse in the fight. Who you picking?
I would take Alabama. No, damn. It's not like I'm anything in here, but I would take Alabama at home.
Damn, ouch. All right, 2-on-1, okay.
I'm a little scared, though, that I agree with Hickey. Hickey's pickies are not necessarily known to be the best, if you will.
Oh, so maybe that means I'm in good shape.
You're probably in very good shape. I'm second-guessing myself as I say it.
You believe this guy, JR, coming in here, trashing me?
Hickey, is he accurate, or is he telling a lie?
You can say he is accurate what he says. I would say it's more of a coincidence.
Hickey's picky suck. Come on. we can say it. It's all right. You know it. I know it. We all know it.
So, Hickey, if you were going to give somebody betting advice, you would say bet against you?
That has been known to be, unfortunately, pretty profitable.
I think the key word is fade.
Okay. Note taken.
Not great.
Good.
Marco's about to retire next week. He's heard all Hickey's pickies. Bet against him.
He went from angry to, yeah, you're right. Right on in. Yeah. I can't do it.
I feel better about Saturday now. I feel better. Okay.
There you go, Jay. There's some positivity for you.
Yeah, I know. What else is positive? It's raining. It's been raining for about, I don't know, 48 hours now. So what else am I going to be positive? They could have played the Mets and the Braves. They could have just put them in raincoats outside, right?
Let's go. Some guys are tough. Mets would have played, no problem.
Where's that wheelbarrow? No.
Oh, for what? To throw me over Niagara Falls?
Why not? You use it in the game, no?
A wheelbarrow?
Well, if you got that much rain, you never know. You get the guys in the outfield sliding right across. It'd be fun.
Well, you're right. They just need bigger cleats. That's it. They need bigger studs in the cleats. That solve everything. They could play in the rain and make them play on Monday. It's silly. It makes sense, but it's still silly. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network, 855-212-4227. Thank you again to Kennington for joining us to talk about all things Alabama. When we come back on the other side, the phone line's open if you want to give me a holler. We talked about the Oakland A's being done and somebody else who might be done. It's a woman who plays basketball. I'll tell you who she is on the other side of the break. And no, it's not that one from Indiana. It's somebody else. I'll tell you who.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Dallas Cowboys just getting on the board, scoring a touchdown to now go up 7-3 against the New York Giants. Dak Prescott like a man on fire. Rico Dowdle gets a little pass, takes it 15 yards for a score, 7-3. The Dallas Cowboys now lead the New York Giants. Dak Prescott has already completed 9 of 10 passes for a touchdown. If he's going to stay hot like this, get a little closer to even that record up and not falling to 1-3. Thank you so much to our guest in the last break, Kennington Smith, joining us to talk about some Alabama football as they get ready to take on the Georgia Bulldogs. If you want to call me, it's 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I did tell you, and we'll talk about this again, told you that the Oakland A's, their season, their time in Oakland has come to a close. Caitlin Clark, her time, her rookie season with Indiana, it has come to a close. And there's somebody else whose career might come to a close, might have come to a close. I'm going to tell you about that in a second. But first, I want to do this. I want to tell you about the Dependable Player of the Week, sponsored by Depend and the Prostate Cancer Foundation, reminding you that health is a long game and screening for prostate cancer is easier than ever. You can learn more at Depend.com. Who's dependable? Sam Darnold. Minnesota Vikings quarterback, the man destroyed the Texans over the weekend this past Sunday. 4 touchdowns, beating them 34-7. Sam Darnold leads the NFL with 8 touchdown passes while having the 3rd best passer rating in the league. Who would have ever thought that Sam Darnold was dependable? Let's see how long that lasts. Speaking of dependable, the lady who might be done. Korea might be done playing basketball, and it should be, sorry. Diana Taurasi, 42 years old. Her Phoenix Mercury were eliminated from the WNBA postseason last night at the hands of the Minnesota Lynx. Minnesota beat Phoenix 101-88. Diana Taurasi finished the night with 10 points, 4 rebounds, and 3 assists. She had 21 points in the opener of the series. WNBA in the playoffs, the opening round, they only play 2 out of 3. And they lost the first 2. So they're done. And so Diana Taurasi, she might be done. After 20 years in the WNBA, she was selected as the number 1 overall pick in 2004 out of UConn. She played in Phoenix her entire career. She's a 3-time champ, a 2-time finals MVP. She got an MVP in 2009. She is an 11-time All-Star. And then there's one more accolade that I want to share with you that is just ridiculous. But before I do that, you know what? Let's listen to Diana Taurasi from last week. She says that she has days where she still feels that she could play at the highest of the highest of the highest levels.
You know, I just got out of the locker room and I was talking to BG and I'm like, you know, there's still days where I'm like, I can still do this. I still want to play basketball. And then there's, you know, the flip side where there are days where I'm crawling out of bed. You know, and that's, I guess, a struggle you have when you get to this point in your career. You know, you have to do so much to be able to get back on the court. You know, and it's bittersweet in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I mean, she's one of the greatest basketball players ever. There's no doubt about that. But when you, I say this all the time, when you openly talk this much about retirement, it's time to go. Hang him up. I mean, we've heard LeBron James talk about retirement. Now, when he lost, I guess he needed a little bit of a distraction. But we knew this guy wasn't going to quit. I mean, for years he talked, I want to play with my son, and we very well might get that. I think we will. But I mean, damn. Here we have it. Diana Taurasi with an opportunity to walk away. I think she's done. And I told you about that one other accolade that she had. Come here. Listen very carefully. She has 6 gold medals. They just had her on the Olympic team. And I guess one of the other reasons that I'm not all that enthusiastic, you know, sad about the departure, likely departure, Diana Taurasi, is she did all that yapping about Caitlin Clark What are we doing? Caitlin Clark is better than you. I think we knew that from when she was in college. We needed to see this through a regular season in the WNBA to figure it out. Diana Taurasi, you've had your time. You said it hurts to get out the bed day at some days and get things together. Just stay home. And she's played a lot of basketball, not just in the WNBA. She played in Turkey, played in the Olympics. And you do something for your entire life, then what else are you going to do? You're 42, lady. Come on. Open up a basketball. Do something. Hickey, give her some advice. What does she do? I don't know. Something, right?
I mean, number one, just live off your stardom. Be an analyst, maybe. Go do some TV.
No. She's going to start a podcast with Cheryl Swoops, right?
I wonder what their topic is going to be.
The anti-Caitlin Clark show? Is that what it is?
She went 12 or 13. Let's diagnose her one miss and how bad it was.
It might be the case. Damn.
Coaching, you still get a little bit of both of that. I don't know if I would want to coach with how much effort that is, how much time commitment.
Yeah, just go do something. I don't know what she does. Figure it out. Can't play sports forever. I mean, Tom Brady quit eventually, right? He quit. LeBron James ain't going to play forever. I mean, come on. Great. Good on you for having a great career. Now go away. Thank you, Diana Taurasi. As a basketball fan, signed basketball fan, JR. Anyway, now she's not the only person that got eliminated last night. Yeah, Caitlin Clark lost. Indiana lost. We talked about it last night here on the air. They got the boot. But then after the game, I was gone by then. I wasn't on the air. Alyssa Thomas from the Connecticut Sun, as a part of her press conference, and this is following Caitlin Clark, and it's not because it's her fault. Just people on the internet are asses, just all over the place. Alyssa Thomas talked about playing in Indianapolis and some of the responses that her and her teammates get, not just from people in the stands, but just in general on the internet. They played this game in Connecticut. I want you to take a listen to what Alyssa Thomas had to say about how the fans and the hate and all the negativity needs to stop.
We don't want fans that are going to degrade us and call us racial names. I mean, we already see what's happening in the world and what we have to deal with in that aspect. And, you know, we come to play basketball for our job and it's fun, but we don't want to go to work every day and have social media blown up over things like that. It's uncalled for and something needs to be done, whether it's, you know, them checking their fans or this league checking. There's no time for it anymore.
WNBA did put out a statement saying, hey, you know, we disavow this and this and this and this. But an idiot's going to be an idiot. An idiot with a keyboard is going to be an idiot. A jackass in the basement just being a jerk is going to be one. And yeah, there's a lot of racism that still exists in the world. It is highly unfortunate. We got plenty of idiots, too. Come on now. We had a kid. And I say a kid. We had a kid in Detroit who was a classmate of Dan Campbell's daughter share their address on the internet to harass them. Like, you want to tell me how much of an idiot he is? Now, Hickey, this is something else. Shouldn't the parents be punished for this? Shouldn't the parents be held accountable somehow for the kid's activities? Like, that's crazy.
That's interesting. I never thought about that.
It's a minor. It's a minor. Like, what did you teach your kid? You should hold some type of responsibility. I'm not saying lock the parents up, but like the kid should get every community service and punishment for everybody.
I think you're right. I think that's very fair.
It's a kid. Like that. A kid just learns this behavior themselves. Like, you learn to be a jackass, or are you allowed to be a jackass? Or do you learn to be a jackass from your parents? Like, which one is it? Like, it's unimaginable to me. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to share this guy. Like, the thought doesn't go through the kid's head that his classmate could be seriously harmed? Like, that thought didn't cross his head? The thought didn't cross his mind that, oh, my God, if I share the address, Dan Campbell could be seriously hurt. Like, how does that not cross your head? Are you stupid or are you just ignorant to life? Like, and Hickey, I don't expect you to have an answer because you're not stupid. How does this even come across somebody's brain? Or are you that intentional of being an ass that you want to harm someone and scare them? Which one is it? Both are unimaginable.
Both are. I mean, I'm assuming because you're young, maybe you, not a joke, but I mean, I'm sure you don't think maybe how dangerous this could be. Maybe you think, I don't know, like ding dong ditch. Most, I don't really know what you're thinking.
Most people do. And so what makes you different? What makes these few outliers different where this thought doesn't cross their mind? That, you know, maybe I shouldn't put someone's address, a famous person, my classmate, someone that I, even the fact that you know them, you would think that you would hesitate just a little bit more, you know, but I don't know. We have entered into the world of accountability. Everybody could hide behind a keyboard and a phone and just think things don't matter. IP addresses matter. You know, it might be connected to something, but it's connected to you. Such a wild world that we live in. Damn. How about just treat each other with respect? Would you like it if somebody did it to you? If the answer is, no, I wouldn't like it, then don't do it. It's really that simple. It's called the Golden Rule and supersedes JR Wisdom. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. Don't move.